Hilliard Lyons is proud to become a part of Baird, a trusted financial services firm that shares our commitment to the community. I'm Jeff Main, branch manager with Hilliard Lyons. You can learn more about Baird and our new partnership at HilliardToBaird.com.
Every Tuesday, we head to City Hall. Mayor John Hamilton checks in with us. And Mr. Mayor, good afternoon. How are you on this hot Tuesday? We hope you had a great Labor Day weekend.
Well, thank you. I'm well. I hope you guys are both well. Yeah, it's still summer, isn't it?
It is hot. And I can't get over this head cold I've had for a week now, so I might have to use some real medicine instead of this stuff I'm reading on the internet.
Well, I walked by a pool yesterday that wasn't open, and remembering we had the whole season, unfortunately, we couldn't open the pools, and they would have closed this past weekend. It would have been the last big hurrah, but it was a different year. It is a different year.
That's right. Next year, we will drool in the pool and bark in the park and do all those wonderfully fun things that comes with this time of year. But speaking of pools and refreshment and everything else, I know that you pay attention to some of the same news sources I pay attention to, and it was disturbing to some degree this weekend to see groups of students tied up on Lake Monroe on these 25-person party boats, basically... I don't know if they're helping the situation, hurting the situation, just having some good old fun. But we know the numbers here for COVID are popping up recently. Activity like that is surely not helping anything.
No, they're not helping themselves or the community. We've been in touch with the, unfortunately, neither the city nor the county has jurisdiction on Lake Monroe. That's a Department of Natural Resources enforcement question. We've been in touch with them. It is very frustrating. And, you know, we've, as you all know, we've seen significant rises in cases, in particular in the Greek houses, congregate living, community spread. Still, we don't have much data showing a problem with that, but we know the virus is spreading, and that kind of behavior is against the law, and it's also, you know, harmful to our future. So we keep trying, doing all we can to communicate, reminding people this is serious. It's sometimes hard to communicate that to invulnerable young people, but it's important to keep remembering, you know, it really affects our health, it affects our family's health, it affects our community's economic health, and so we'll just keep plugging away and appreciate you bringing that up. It's really not smart behavior.
Mr. Mayor, I listen to police calls, and on the weekends, you hear a lot of sending the police out to a house someplace or this spot or that spot. Not all on campus. Some are off campus. 40 people, a little loud music, that kind of thing. Is that calming down at all since school started?
Well, I do think we're seeing you know, serious response from the Indiana University Police Department and the Bloomington Police Department. When we see gatherings of more than 15 people, we show up and say that's not allowed under the rules. We do appreciate getting notified if people identify situations like that. If you need to have a bigger gathering, you are welcome to contact us. We've had a couple dozen weddings and receptions and Bible studies and other things which we've gotten notice of, and we make sure you're doing it right and we approve them. I'm not seeing a slew of them, so it seems the enforcement is really helping in town. I will say I've heard rumors of, you know, people leaving town to have parties, or you certainly see what happened on the lake as a little frustrating, but you know, we're never going to get 100%. We got it. We want most people to do the right thing most of the time to diminish the spread of the disease, and that's what we're really trying to focus on.
And we're not picking on students at Lake Monroe. They were just on a craft that holds over 15 people, and they were all tied up together. Mm-hmm. So I'm not very good at math, but if each boat has 25 people on it and there's three of them tied up, that's a big group. And someone will say, well, there was a big rally on the lake on the weekend. Well, I didn't see party boats as part of this regatta or rally, so I'm not going to get on those people's cases. You can have 8, 7, 9, 10 people on a boat. That's not the point here. The point is having these gatherer events or spreader events, like you like to call them.
Super spreader events where you can just get a lot of people sick at one time unknowingly. You know, a person often may not know they're sick or infectious, but it's also it's important to remember that even if you have those smaller gatherings, the regulations say you need to be physically distanced and masked. So, you know, if you do get together socially with people outside of your household or your pod, as we call it sometimes, those people that you live with regularly, you really need, even if there's only nine of you, those outside your household and pod, you should be physically distanced and masked. Unless you're outside in more than 6 feet, you should be masked. So people's, you know, you can still get 12 people sick if there's 13 of you and one of you sick and you're sitting on a boat and you're not protecting yourself. So the numbers for the community spread are still decent. The hospitalization numbers are decent. We haven't seen a real explosion of those. We came up a little bit from a month ago, but we're, you know, it's really concerning because this stuff can turn on you in a matter of days. So we hope Labor Day didn't cause that to happen.
Mayor Hamilton, help me on one thing. I've seen some pictures of the sign on the door of a fraternity house saying quarantined, et cetera. If, and this is me just kind of speculating, if I was in one of those fraternity houses, does quarantine really mean quarantine? Can I get out in my car and go out to a fast food place and bring back some food? Or am I required to stay in the house?
You should not be. In those circumstances, and I'm not the county health expert on this, but in those circumstances, that means a bunch of people in that building have been identified as positive, infectious, and it's very possible that you are, even if you feel okay today. So you need to quarantine yourself, meaning do not, it's basically a stay-at-home order.
Okay.
And that's to protect from spreading it further, because if you go out and pick up food somewhere, then 2 days later, if you get a fever and we find out you have it, then we got to go find out everybody in that restaurant that you came in contact with. So it really means quarantine.
Mayor John Hamilton's our guest this afternoon. He checks in from the city of Bloomington, and sadly, over the weekend, Bloomington was involved in a tragedy. I don't know what else to call it. A triple murder suicide. Words that Keith and I haven't uttered on this program, thankfully, and just an awful situation. But I did see your response put out, I believe, was that Sunday afternoon? All the days ran together there. Talk about how you learned the situation and why you felt it was important to put out a statement.
Well, it was a phone call you never want to get from a police chief, who just a terrible family situation where it all appears, you know, it's not completely concluded, but the investigation, all indications are of a father in a family with a wife and two kids. Something happened, and he killed his three family members and then killed himself sometime Saturday night. Was found, you know, in a terrible way by a friend who was supposed to pick up and be with the daughter. And so, you know, it was, from all I can hear so far, there were not indications. I believe the gentleman, the Mumper family, it's been named now, the coroner released the names this morning, had some health diagnoses. We don't know what happened, if there was some mental problem or others, but just a terrible situation. We actually had a suicide the night before in a city park, and It's Suicide Awareness Month, and just reminds us that you know, life is fragile, and trying to, you can't always see any signs in this kind of thing, but if you do, if you can, reach out for help. If anybody is feeling desperate or lost or worried about what they might do to themselves or others, please reach out to others. Don't let a day of terrible situation make a lifetime or end a lifetime of opportunity and find help. So it was a rough day, and the police department had to deal with that all morning. And our hearts go out to the MCCSC and North High School and families and worship centers and others that knew this family. It's just a terrible story. Tragic.
Mr. Mayor, tomorrow night at the City Council, you're going to be dealing with the local income tax. I've been reading, and I see that county officials don't feel real happy with this. Explain why this is needed and what it will be used for. And, you know, if you had a chance to sit down across the table and talk friendly to the county people why they should or should not support it?
Sure. You know, I began talking about the need for revenue at the beginning of this year before COVID hit, and had identified what seemed to me from my seat as mayor is some really important challenges that we need to meet. One fact about government is much of what we do takes money, and our money comes generally from taxes. And if you don't have enough money, you can't do some of the things you should do. It's worth noting, and I will confess, I didn't know this when I got the mayor's seat, that Bloomington, Monroe County have the lowest tax rates of any of our contiguous counties. And if you took the 21 close counties in our region, we're the 19th. We have almost the lowest tax rate of all those counties, which surprised me for a county that has ambitions and goals and aspirations that we do in many ways for our parks, our trails, our services, et cetera. So this tax increase that I talked about in January was focused on a couple things. One was transit improvements, the Bloomington Transit, and the second was overall addressing of opportunity for people to get better jobs and get better housing and to improve economic life, to improve climate change, to do our part to reduce energy. Since COVID hit in July, I indicated we really should rethink and have done that and cut it in half, postponing the transit side of this because transit is very disrupted right now, if you will. But we still, this community is reeling. It's hurting. We have people, thousands of people out of work still, not making anything. We have big challenges in our safety net. And this very modest tax increase, which will still keep us at the very bottom of our regional tax partners, will help us invest in ways that will help people access housing and keep them in their housing. It'll help people get job training to get into jobs. It'll help reduce expenses for utilities for lower and moderate income families by getting insulation into their buildings. It'll help the arts community. It'll help the local food community. It'll help social safety net organizations that provide food and shelter and such. So we'll be talking about that, and it's not easy to do right now, I understand, but the last point I should make about it is we've been asking the state legislature for many years. The cities have asked, let us do our own tax. Let us do a city tax. We don't need to raise it, but if we need taxes, let us raise it on the city alone, and the state legislature will not do that. They have not done that. So the only way to get revenue is through this countywide tax, and we're following the rules to do that. And if they would change and let the city do it alone, we would absolutely do it that way. They just haven't decided to give us that authority yet.
After mentioning all the groups that you you pointed out there that are struggling right now, and there's a lot of them, putting another tax on them, some will argue, that's counterproductive to hopefully moving forward. It's a tough situation. The light at the end of the tunnel, though, do you believe that the local income tax can help those people quicker than not being assessed that tax? Is that what the look at is?
Well, look, there are certain things that government can do that individuals can't do. Rescuing a family from eviction, or responding to a food need, or helping improve energy efficiency in scores, dozens, hundreds of homes. Those are things that's very difficult to do at the individual level. And if you're a lower income family that's $50 a year or $60 a year in this tax, you're not going to be able to do that yourself. And there are certain things that government needs to do. And we need to make those investments to improve our community, to support those changes. We're very sensitive to this timing. It's just if we do not have this revenue, we will not be able to do the investments in infrastructure and the safety net and helping local food agriculture workers, many of whom are not very high income, to do the kind of things to help them recover. It's never easy. You know, it would be one thing if Bloomington had high taxes compared to everybody else and we were taking them higher. I think it's fair to look at what's the ratio. But we do not have the revenues we need to meet the ambitions that we have. You know, we don't want people kicked out of their homes. We want to help homeless get back into housing. We want to help people who are out of work get into better jobs, but it takes revenue and investment to do that.
Mr. Mayor, help me understand why it's an issue, or can a city impose a countywide tax? I don't understand that.
Well, cities are not allowed to impose their own income tax under state law, although we've asked for it for a bunch of years. The only way you do an income tax is at a countywide level, and there's an entity called the Local Income Tax Council, which is made up of all the members of the City Council, County Council, Ellisville Council, and Steinsville Council. And all of those members each get votes on whether to impose the tax. And if you get a majority vote from those members, then the tax is put into place countywide. So it's kind of like a super legislature, if you will, or a super tax council. And the votes are assigned by population. So if you get a vote from people who represent a majority of the people in the community, then the tax is put into place. I do think it would make sense, and we've argued this to the state legislature, just let cities do it ourselves, but they have not chosen to do so yet.
Why does the county feel, with all of them and only, seven city council people? I don't understand the voting.
Well, the math works out that if eight city council members who represent all 85,000 people in the city vote for it, then it goes into effect because they represent a majority of the residents of the county.
Okay.
So they kind of take a percentage of how many people you represent and assign the voting that way, which is all done by state law. And I'm not going to say that's the smartest thing ever designed. It just is what it is. And the county, you know, I work with the county very closely every day and will continue to, and they have challenges to meet, but I understand they may have a different political calculation on this right now, but my job is to try to do what's right for the city and our whole community and whole region, and I think we have to meet some of these challenges that are coming down at us.
And you're going to be talking about this tomorrow night and then a week from tomorrow, and public will have an opportunity to get input into all of this. How do they do that?
Yes, the public is welcome to participate at the city council meetings tomorrow night, Wednesday the 9th. It starts at 7:30 p.m., and there's a link you can get on the city website. And then on the 16th, I believe it'll be at 6:30 p.m., and there's public comment time that'll happen maybe an hour into the meeting, generally, something like that.
So you need to be patient and hang on for that comment time to roll.
But you can do it from your home now.
That is convenient.
You can do it from your home now, so you don't have to go down to City Hall like you used to have to make comments. So we welcome views and suggestions, comments. If it does pass on the 16th, then the other jurisdictions vote on it before the end of the October, and then it would go into effect not for a number of months next year, and then of course we'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks.
Mr. Mayor, before we let you go, you have a bragging point, and that is the water meters, the smart meters, have been installed throughout the city, and there's some great things that can happen as a result of that. That we'll talk about that. I think this is exciting.
Well, I want to kudos to the City of Bloomington Utilities, Vic Kelson and his whole team. They've been doing a lot of things to upgrade our water services, protect the lake. And one of the things they've done is automate the meters, where, you know, the old meter reader who would come out to your house and check your meter, tap on it, see how many gallons you used. We've now installed a sophisticated radio network, basically, that transmits once an hour, just a little blip from your meter that transmits to a network how much water went through the last hour in your house. That does a lot of things for us. It lets us see how and when water is being used on a real-time basis. It also lets a homeowner do the same. They can check on an app that we'll be publicizing pretty soon to see what their water use is at any given time. And as you might imagine, if you have a big water leak or you leave town and leave a hose running,
that's right.
Unusual uses, we'll now be able to see that and call you or go check it out and hopefully avoid some of those problems.
And if you get, it's preventative medicine. That's the best part of it. And you can learn more at the city's website, and you get all kinds of information at the city's city's website as well. Mayor, enjoy your short week. We always enjoy your time. We know it's a short week. That doesn't mean it's any less busy. We will we will be following along as the week moves along. And Keith, what time is the meeting for
tomorrow night?
The Zoom 5. What time are we going tomorrow?
7:30.
7:30.
Okay. Tomorrow night.
Well, I got to.
6:30 on the 16th.
Okay. Yeah. And you'll help us remind us of the time change next week. We don't want anybody to be late at home. Thank you again for your insight. We always appreciate your candor as well, and we'll do it again next Tuesday.
Nice to see you. Hope you feel better, and everybody have a good week.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Take care.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. John Hamilton, the mayor of the city of Bloomington, weighs in with us every Tuesday afternoon on a variety of topics. And if you caught our interview late, don't worry. We will post it later at WGCLradio.com.